So we're in a series called Church on a Mission. And the mission that we have as a church is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Wherever people are at, is that we want to see them experiencing Jesus Christ at work in their life for their good and his glory. And that's what we're after, and that's what we want to see happening. And as we've gone through this series where we started, I want to just take it back. We've been talking about these pursuits that we do as a church. And four pursuits that are really key to a church that's not only on mission, but a church that's seeing God work, and they're successful at seeing God work through that mission. And so the first week where we spent some time looking at John 15, where Jesus talks about how he is the vine and we are the branches, and that we are to remain in him. And we talked about this idea, this concept of making our home in Christ, which is what that word remain means, is that we make our home in Christ. We settle down, we unpack our bags, we're like, this is where I now live, is with Christ. And so we begin to adopt his family values, his way of doing things, and he talks about how we obey him. And by it, he gives us these promises that, you know, like our prayers are effective. We have this opportunity to see his joy made complete in our lives. And then we bear much fruit. And then by bearing fruit, we're talking about like all the good things of God begin to come out in our life for our benefit, but also for the benefit of others around us. That was week one. Last week, we looked at the second pursuit, and that is to live in community. And that living in community is with a small group of other believers. And the purpose for that is because God has designed his church to be able to live in relationships with one another, where we spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Is that, you know, as far as having a persevering faith and a maturing faith, like we need each other. And those relationships are important to what God is doing. And when a church is experiencing relationships together, we allow one another to grow in the way that God wants to grow them. And we grow through that. And we're going to accomplish our mission of leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And then today we're looking at the third. We're going to dig down into this third pursuit. And it's to know God's word. We're going to look at this pursuit to know God's word. And we seek to know God's word because by it we are trained for discernment and equipped for every good work. We're trained for discernment and equipped for every good work. And we'll walk through that and talk about that here through the message. But as we think about these first three pursuits, I in my mind, I think of them as kind of like three legs to a stool. And when all three are present, when we're making our home in Christ, when we're living in community, and when we're pursuing to know God's word, what happens is it creates this very stable base for the maturity, for us to mature in Christ, and for God to really accomplish in us and through our lives what he wants to do. And in today's message, we're going to cover this pursuit to know God's word in three sections. So the first section is this. We're going to look at why God's word is so important. And then we're going to look at what expectations there are for knowing God's word. And then third, how we use God's word. So we'll look at those three things here together. So this first one, why is God's word so important? You know, if I were to go around and ask you, you know, why is God's word so important? I think most of you would probably be able to give me a decent answer as to why God's word is important. But it's one of those things I think is good for us to review, because I know in my own life it's important for me to have these moments where I look at the things that I should understand about, you know, from God's word, and then they remind me like again and again, like, oh yeah, this is why I choose to do this. This is why I choose to value God's word so much in my life, and why I choose to read it and study it and listen to it carefully is because there's a purpose behind it. And Jesus talks about this purpose in his word, about this purpose about us experiencing the life that he bought for us by his blood to experience. And that the word of God plays a really key part in us experiencing that. And so we're going to see that in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. So if you got a Bible, you got a Bible app, you can open there, because we're going to spend a little bit of time here in Romans chapter 12 in this one verse, verse 2. And Paul is writing to the church that's in Rome. And he's inspired by the Holy Spirit to write down these words. And this is what he writes, how he starts it out. And we'll take it piece by piece as we go through this verse. He starts off by saying, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world." Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. What he's talking about, you know, like that, I think what most of us can relate to is that there's a pressure, right, that exists in within a culture, that, like when you're living within a culture, to adopt the ways, their beliefs and thinking and values that are a part of that culture. So here in America, like, there is a pressure. If you, you know, you probably recognize it, even if you don't recognize it, because I think sometimes, you know, we're so, like, a part of a culture, we don't even recognize sometimes how it's influencing us. But, it, you know, it's happening. There's this conformity to it that is always happening for us in our lives. And the problem, he says, is don't be conformed to what the pattern of this world is, because how Paul, and you know, talks about the world, he's always talking about that aspect of the world that's not in conformity with Christ and God's way of thinking and believing and doing is what he's talking about. And the world always has that as a part of its values. And it's that, and it's so because of the origin or the source where those beliefs, thoughts, and practices are coming from. We looked at this understanding. This is one of the, you know, core things we have to understand about ourselves and about our world, is that when sin entered the world through Adam, is that it went and it corrupted everything in all of creation. You know, its mark, its stain, its corruption is on everything, including us and on our human hearts. And so there's an issue with discernment about what is true and good, because sin has compromised our ability to evaluate that. The prophet Jeremiah, many, many, many years ago, wrote in his book in the Old Testament, in chapter 17, these words. He says, "The heart is deceitful above all things." What he's saying is, like, everything we know about the heart, there's a number of things we know about the heart and what's going on, but the thing that's most true about the human heart is that it's deceitful. That it tricks us. It lies to us. It twists the truth. And that's the one thing we most have to understand about our hearts. And he says this, and it's beyond cure. We cannot fix that problem. It means that it's going to be a problem in every human heart. It's going to struggle with this problem of being deceived by our hearts. And then he asks this question, who can understand it? He's asking that question not in the sense of, like, who can understand what's in the heart, because I think we know what's in our own heart, you know, like, we know the desires that we have, the things that we believe. But what he's saying by this, who can understand it, he's saying that since our hearts lie to us, who can understand if what our heart is leading us to do is the right way or the wrong way? Who can really make an evaluation, an accurate evaluation every single time about what's going on in our heart, if it's trying to deceive us or not? The point he's trying to make is that we can't. We can't, because our heart is adept at lying to us. What we need in order to discern what is true and what is good and what is best for our lives is a source outside of ourselves. Of course, you know, when we talk about what's outside of ourselves, who would have that kind of knowledge to provide for us? We're talking about God, right? Because God is eternal. He has always existed, and he always will be. He was before creation. He is holy and good. He is unstained by sin. Sin has not corrupted him. He is the source of truth for us. And that truth has been spoken throughout human history and recorded in the Word of God for us to be able to know what is true about God, what is true about us, what is true about life. And we can have confidence that it's God that is behind what we have here in the Word of God, and there are good reasons for it, and not only that God spoke, but it's been passed down to us accurately, where we can trust that the Word of God that we have now is what God has spoken and wants to speak to us today as well. Now, if you're like, "Oh, how do I know that?" Well, I encourage you to go check out our series, More Than Words, back in February, where we talked through some of this together. We taught through this and investigate it if you want to learn a little bit more about it. But this idea, this concept, this understanding about how God is the source of truth and that he has spoken that truth through us in his word informs us for what Paul says next after he says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. He's going to contrast what we should do instead. Instead of just conforming as believers, because we should be different, if we look and think and do exactly as everybody else around us, he says that's a problem, right? He says, instead, what do we do? Instead, he says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, the transformation of your life is accomplished through the renewing of your mind. And how does your mind go about being renewed? It's through the Word of God. It's through his truth that we begin to believe differently. You see, Jesus came not just to get us to change our behavior to fit what is right. His transformation is much more deeper inside of us, right? It's an inside-out transformation. He's going to the source. You know, we do things in our life, but really, you know, if you ask the question, why do I do the things that I do? Well, if you follow, you know, that, you know, like upstream, like where is that coming from? What you go back to is your beliefs, your most deeply held beliefs and convictions are then directing your thoughts, and your thoughts, what you're thinking about most, feed your desires. And then your desires, your most dominant desires, they direct your life. And so we have this kind of progression. There's what we believe, right, determines what we think about and how we think about things. And then our thoughts, then, what do? They feed our desires. And then our desires, really our most dominant desires, are what drive our life. And so, you know, like what Jesus is doing, and he wants to go all the way back to that beginning point, and he wants to change what we believe, like how we really think about things. With his truth, because that truth then begins to seep through our entire lives, our thoughts, our desires, and ultimately into our lives. And we're transformed by that truth. And what happens then through the word of God and it renewing our mind, which transforms our life, in verse 2 here at the end of it, it says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. He's talking about God's will in the sense of what does God want you to do morally? What is the right thing to do, the best thing for you to do in a situation? And he's saying once your mind is renewed, you gain this ability to test a situation and then approve what is the best and the right and the good thing to do in that situation. You know, our lives are filled with all sorts of complex decisions. Some are, you know, we do have some simpler decisions, but, you know, relationships are complex. Our situations in our life and the moral, like, decisions that we have to make are sometimes very complex, right? But what do we do? And we're trying to discern, what does God want me to do in this situation? How does God want me to talk in this situation, to live in this situation, to think about this situation? Well, we gain that ability to make discernment about what is the good and the right thing to do by our minds being renewed by the word of God. And then it says, he takes us to this place about understanding his will. It says his will is what? His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And that's what we experience and affirm about God's will for our life, is that it's good, it's accomplishing something good in our life, that it's pleasing, that it's actually desirable to follow God's will, that we want to do it. And then it brings us what we're hoping for. A lot of times it's like contentment and peace and purpose and hope. And then it says, and it's perfect, right? It's exactly what is needed for how we are to live in that situation. It's perfect always. It speaks into exactly how we should live in that situation. And so we experience this, we experience through God's word, we experience our minds being renewed, which transforms our life, which enables us to experience this new life that Jesus Christ has bought for us by his blood. That we experience a life that is in alignment with who God is, but not only is it pleasing to God, it's also a pleasing life for us, is that it brings joy into our life and hope into our life and purpose into our life. And so the word of God is important for that. So that process happens inside of us. Now there is, with the word of God, there comes expectations as well for how we are to grow as believers in our knowledge of God's word, is that there are expectations. And those expectations are talked about in Hebrews chapter 5, 11 through 14. And in this passage, the author is writing to a group of believers, and in this part, he's actually rebuking them because of their lack of effort to know God's word. And we get to listen in and I think be able to learn about what kind of expectations does God have for us as we are believers in Christ as far as knowing God's word. And so he writes to them in verse 11, starting in verse 11, he says this, "We have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear to you." He's talking about, if you look in the before, he's talking about Jesus as the high priest, as a fulfillment of the high priest in the old covenant that God set up with the nation of Israel, that's all about, you know, like relating to God through these high priests and about making sacrifices and about living right in order to have a relationship with God. And so Jesus, in the book of Hebrews, he's talking about, writing about, teaching about how Jesus is the fulfillment of everything that's a part of the old covenant, and he fulfills it on our behalf. And so he provides us a better covenant, a better way of being made right with God and have a relationship with him. And so he says, I want to be able to teach you so much about this and who Jesus is and how he fulfills it and what it means for your life. But he says this, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. Their effort isn't there, right? He's teaching, but they're not learning. He says, in fact, though, by this time you ought to be teachers. You know, he's like, the expectation is that now you've been a believer in Jesus, and I've been teaching you, is that you are building upon your knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and what it means for your life to the point that you have grasped it and understand it, that you can then go and teach others. Not that all of them will become teachers, but all, you know, but the expectation is you get to that point where you understand it so well that you can explain it to other people as well. And he says this about them. He says, instead of being teachers, though, he says, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You know, the elementary truths are kind of like the basic truths, if you want to call it. He's saying, you know what, is that you start at Gospel 101, these foundational truths about who Jesus Christ is, like that, you know, like you are a sinner and separated from God, that you need a savior, that you can't save yourself, that Jesus Christ came to be your savior, and to, you know, be a substitutionary sacrifice for your sins. He died on the cross and he rose again 3 days later. And because of that, if you believe in him, is that you have eternal life. These are foundational truths for our life. And they're very important, right? They're very important truths for us to understand. But he's like, but the expectation is, as you learn things, is that you don't stop there, right? You don't revisit and just do and learn that course over and over again, is that you develop and you grow. We understand this from an education standpoint, right? Like a four-year-old, when we see a four-year-old enter into preschool, it makes sense to us. It's the age-appropriate time for them to be able to learn to do some counting, you know, about their numbers and be able to count to 20. And they learn how to use scissors, right, safely. But if we see a 14-year-old in a preschool classroom and the teacher's like, this is how you cut. And they're like, how do you do it? And they're like, what's the number after 20? And they're like, I don't know, 31? Then we're like, what happened to that 14-year-old, right? Is that naturally they should be developing in their knowledge. They should be building year after year on their education so that they have a greater understanding of math and science and social studies and English, right? Is that we understand that in the education system, that you grow in your knowledge and you build on it. That 14-year-old should be past preschool, past elementary school. They should be finishing middle school, right? And about to enter into high school type level of education. That there's a development. And you know, the same expectations exist for a follower of Jesus, is that you begin to know God's word and you understand who Jesus is and the gospel. And then you begin to build on that. You build on your understanding of things. And as you do, you begin to develop this ability to be able to make judgments about how does God want you to live in this situation and in that situation. You're able to just have discernment for your life. He goes on and says this about them. He says, you need milk, not solid food. It's kind of like he's saying, you're at the wrong stage, right? Because who needs milk? Infants need milk. But not everybody, an infant doesn't stay an infant forever, right? They always grow up, and then with it, they develop the ability to eat solid food. He says, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. You know, the expectation for knowing God's word is that you move from milk to meat, right? Is that you move from milk to meat, that you develop and you grow in your ability to understand and then work through the implications of Jesus Christ and the gospel for your life. You know, it's natural and normal, right, for a baby to be eaten from a bottle. But when you see a grown man with a bottle in his mouth, it doesn't fit, right? It doesn't fit because you should develop past that point. You know, spiritually, if you're grown up, you don't want to be stuck, right? Back at the most basic truths where you're hearing it again and again, but you're never really learning it. You're never really building on it and growing in it. Because you just never really engaged at that level with the Word of God. And so maybe today, you know, like you're feeling that kind of that challenge. You know, maybe if you've been stuck in a pattern where you just listen to God's word, is that today is like a moment where you're like, wait a minute, what am I doing here? What am I doing here with God's word? Am I just listening to it but never really learning it? and an understanding and allowing it to make it cause me to grow up into maturity? Or how am I engaging with the Word of God? Is it work, doing its work that it should be doing in my life to renew my mind and transform me? So how do we do that? What do we then do with the Word of God? What's different then about how we should interact with the Word of God? Well, the author talks about that next and how we should use God's Word. Verse 14, he says, "But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." What do the mature do, right? Through constant use, they train themselves for good and evil. The mature use God's word as a tool for training. And training for what? Discernment. Discernment about what is good and what is evil, about how to live in this situation in life and what not to do, all right? That is what they're training themselves to be able to do with the Word of God. You know, when you begin to think of every time that you're listening and hearing the Word of God as a training moment, and there's a purpose behind it, it changes how you go about engaging with the Word of God. Let me illustrate it this way for you. There's a series of numbers. Check out this series of numbers on the screen right now. Go ahead and put it up. 14, 33, 6, 47, 63, 5. Amazing numbers, right? Incredible. You know, in this moment, you're probably looking at them going, why? Right? You're just kind of like, you're kind of like passively paying attention because I want you to, right? And they're up on the screen. They're just there. But you're probably not motivated a whole lot to learn these numbers. There's not a reason to know these numbers. But what if I were to tell you that these numbers were divinely given to me to share with you, because they are the next numbers that will show up in the Powerball. And with these numbers, you will win $176 million. How does that change how you learn these numbers? It changes everything, right? Now you're like, maybe they are actually from the Lord. I'm going to use these numbers. I'm just going to check it out. And you're like, oh, so what are you doing? You're trying to memorize them? Maybe you're like, did you have your pen? Does your CrossPoint pen work? Because I need to write down these numbers. And you're like, okay, I've never bought a lottery ticket before. How do I do that, right? So you're like Google or Siri. You're like, how do you buy a lottery ticket? Where do I go? When does this have to be in? And you're finding out all the details to use these numbers, right, in your life, because there's a purpose behind these numbers. You know, once there's a purpose behind what you're learning, it's not just for knowledge's sake that we spend time in God's word and we learn it. It's not just so we know more, but it's because you're like, I'm training to be able to have discernment and to be able to live my life in a way that honors Jesus Christ and fulfills who I am to be in, as an image bearer of God. This is how I'm created to function. And when I do, when I begin to have this ability to discern what is good and right to do in this situation, I'm going to experience this new life that Christ has for me. I'm going to experience joy. I'm going to experience a relationship with God that's alive and changing me and life-giving. Is I want that. And so what am I going to do? I'm going to use the Word of God to train myself for those purposes. There's a purpose behind what you're doing. And you know, for me, when I think about how does that look like in life, it means like every time you're learning something from the Word of God, you're asking, I just ask these three simple questions. What does this teach me about God? What does this teach me about myself? Or what does this teach me about life, right? What does this teach me about God, myself, and life? And as I begin to understand that, I then begin to put the pieces together. Well, how does that affect me then? If God is this way, what do I take away from that? Or this is how I am. What does this mean for me in this situation? Or this is how he says that life is to be lived rightly. How does that affect when I live in this situation? Is that we begin to piece together this understanding that enables us to be able to discern what is right and good and how we live in different situations of our life. Because like I said, life has all sorts of complexities to it. And God's word enables us to be able to discern how do we go through that. So like, you know, what are the good ways to go through suffering? And what are the ways that are unproductive? It doesn't accomplish what God wants to do in our life. Like, we want to grow and understand that. Because there's almost indefinitely going to be a series of hardship or difficulty in our life where God wants to meet us in that moment and to grow us and we want to be able to engage with God and learn from him. Or maybe it's like, okay, in our culture, like, you know, with all the talk about sexual ethics, like, how do you navigate that? How do you know what is good and right? What is permissible and not permissible? How do we know that? When we go to, you know, God's word enables us to be able to have discernment about that. Or how do you navigate political life? You know, today as we're in it, like, how do you vote? How much do you engage in politics? How do you talk to people? You know, like, how do you figure out when there's, like, there's no perfect candidate, right? Like, how do you figure out who to vote for and what to support? And you're trying to figure all that stuff out. Well, how do we just make discernment through all of that? It comes through as you begin to understand and have your mind renewed by the word of God. Or how do you, you know, determine what is good and right in the workplace, in the ethics that you choose to do, and how you go about doing things? Or how do you relate to authorities in your life, especially when you disagree with them? Or how do you prioritize things in your life? And where to invest your time and your talent and your treasure? Or how do you decide where to spend your money and determine the levels of your generosity? Like, all these things that we go through in life, right? Where, you know, how do we make the best and the right decisions? How do we know whether our heart is leading us in the right or the wrong way? It's by the word of God. And by training ourselves with it so that we have the ability to exercise discernment in those situations. The concept of training also shows up in Paul's letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Many of you know these verses. They're very well-known verses. And Paul writes this to Timothy. He says, all scripture is God-breathed, right? God inspired everything that's in scripture. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. There we see the word training again, right? It's training us in righteousness, on how to live. And then the outcome is in verse 17, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, what he's talking about here is related very closely to what the author of Hebrews is saying. But he puts an emphasis on this aspect of discernment, where we discern what is the right thing to do. And we also then, by being trained in righteousness, we desire to do it, and we actually do that as well. Do what the right thing. We're equipped for that good work. In every situation in our life, everything that we're facing, every moment, is that we're thoroughly equipped for the good work, for the thing that God wants us to do in that situation. And how does that happen? By training, right? By training through the word of God. And so, training for anything is what we're going to discover, right? As you go through any sort of training process, it requires two things. It requires consistency and strategy. And we see that in Hebrews 5 passage, right? He says, by constant use, talking about the word of God, it's by constant use that we train to be able to discern between good and evil. Is that anytime you're training for something, you're doing something, right, strategic, that's going to develop your ability and grow your strength or whatever it is that's needed to be able to accomplish the goal that you have set forth. And then you have to do it, right, over and over again. Constant use, right? That's how things work in the training process. So the question is for you, is that how will you train with the word of God? What will you do that's consistent and strategic in your life using the word of God as a tool for that purpose? To be able to discern what is good and evil and to be able to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, this isn't going to be like a one-size-fits-all deal because we're at different places, right, in our maturity in Christ. And so it takes that into account, what you choose to do to be able to train. It's going to look different in how intense those trainings are. Like, it's never wise when you're just starting to run to be like, I'm going to run 12 miles today, right? Don't do it. Just start with 1 mile, right? And so it's the same thing. It's the same idea. When we're using the word of God, we're training, is that you're using an appropriate training method for where you're at right now. So what might that look like? Well, some basic, you know, training that could begin with is maybe for you, it's like you're going to take notes on Sunday morning at the message, and then you're going to think about, okay, what did I learn today? What does that mean? What did I learn about God, about myself, or about life? And what does that mean? Like, how do I put that into practice? You're going to ask those questions. Maybe you're going to ask those questions at your growth group, and you're like, when I don't understand something or I'm still wrestling with something, I'm going to bring that up in my growth group. Or maybe for you, it's like whenever you have like a growth group study you're doing, is that you're going to do it before the group so that you've really thought about it so that you can ask good questions and have good discussions in your growth group because you are training yourself to be able to grow and mature in your ability to discern, right? And to be equipped for every good work. Maybe for you, it's going to be a starting a tag time, a time alone with God. And you're like, okay, I'm going to start this time alone with God where I'm going to spend time listening to God through his word and then talking to him about it. And if you're wondering, like, well, what is a good place to start? Is that we have on the discussion guide for this week, there's a QR code that links you to a reading plan in YouVersion over Luke and Acts from the Bible Project. You can also find it if you're in our church app. Click on the reading plan button, and it's right in there as well. And what this reading plan is great is not only where it starts, Luke and Acts, which are two great books to be able to talk about Jesus, learn about Jesus and about the early church and the ways that he was working, but it's also great because they have these like short videos in there that walk you through with animations and teach you about like the where you're what you're reading in the Bible at that time and the context for it. And so it's very helpful. It's a great way to be able to get into God's word and encourage you to use that. Also, if you're like thinking, well, I'm not at the milk level, you know, like what do I do? You know, what do I use for training? I'm doing those other things in my life, you know, like I have some good habits in my life for training with the word of God. What do I do next? I encourage you, maybe read a theology book. One I recommend is Everyone is a Theologian by R.C. Sproul. It's a great book, introductory book to theology. And it's what it does is it's a systematic theology book. It pulls together from various parts of scripture, teaching on a common topic, and then systematizes it for you to understand fully, like who God is, or who Jesus is, or to understand salvation, or sin, the church, and God's plans for it, or the future. That's what you're doing when you read a book like that. And then it enables you to begin to think more deeply. Okay, if this is true, what does that look like for how I live? And you begin to develop, right? You begin to build your knowledge and your understanding of God's word and how it works in your life. Maybe for you, you're going to say, okay, I'm going to develop my Bible study skills out. I'm going to learn how to do some word studies. Or whenever I'm reading, I'm going to know how do I look up a phrase or a term that I don't fully understand. Like how I'm going to do that. I'm not going to make sure that every time I do that, I'm going through the word of God. I'm going to look up those kind of things. Or how do I find out like historical context for a book in the Bible? I'm going to learn how to do that as part of my Bible study. Maybe for you, you're like, I'm going to begin to work on, you know, listening to great Christian podcasts or books or read books that will enable me to kind of grow in my understanding of God's word. Because I know for me, that's a great way of listening to other people as they interact with God's word. It begins to connect dots for me in understanding how God's word works in my life. Or maybe for you, you're like, I'm going to research an area where I just feel uncertain about, you know, what is the right thing or the right way to think as a Christian and to live as a Christian. Like, I want to know how, maybe for you, it's like, how do I navigate, like, gender and all the issues with homosexuality and how do I navigate that? I want to know how to do it, so I'm going to study that. I'm going to, figure out what does God's word have to say about it? Or maybe for you, it's like, I want to know, you know, like, how am I supposed to relate to immigrants, legal and illegal? What does it look like for a Christian? How do I address that or talk about those issues or interact with that? Or about marriage or about worship or about how you set your priorities. These are all areas where you can be like, I want to understand this better. What does God's word have to say? I'm going to train myself in this area so that I can have discernment and be equipped for every good work. You know, what it comes back down to, what I'm challenging you to, is to own your faith is what I'm talking about, right? Own your faith. Move from being like passive in it and just receiving whatever is given to you or what you stumble across to saying, you know, I'm going to actively engage with the word of God in a way that I'm being trained by it so that I reach maturity in Christ. And to have that goal and be like, that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to take ownership of what is happening in my life through the word of God. And when we do that as a church, I think the beautiful thing is when we do that as a church, when we are passionate about knowing the word of God and we love the word of God and we encourage one another towards like listening to the word of God and learning from it, is that what happens, and we looked at today, happens in our lives. It really does happen. Like our minds get renewed. Our lives get transformed. And that we experience the new life that Christ has for us. More and more, it becomes a reality in us. And we have this ability to exercise discernment and to be thoroughly equipped for every good work that God wants to accomplish in our lives individually and as a church. Like, we're going to be fruitful as a church if we do that. We're going to be salty salt in our world. The flavor of the gospel is going to be experienced from our life in whatever context it is, at work, at school, in our community, on sports teams, in our neighborhoods, in our families, is that God's going to work through that. Because as believers, we have a passion to know God's word and to train with it in our lives. Bow your heads with me. Jesus, we thank you for your word that is powerful and living and active, and that it renews our mind. And I pray that we would be transformed by the word, that we would have a genuine heart that is after your heart, to listen to you and to put it into practice. I pray for growing discernment among us as a church, and Lord, that we would be thoroughly equipped for every good work that you want to accomplish through us. And I am confident that that will happen, Lord, because we are submitted to you. We want to make our home in Christ, live in community, and we want to know your word. We pray this in your name. Amen.